Okay, good morning. I am very honored and blessed to be here today. I'm happy to be here. And you guys are very blessed because I love how you worship. I don't want to be negative. I love my church very much, but the worship is so loud, I can't even hear my wife next to me. Anybody have that? But I actually do. I get goosebumps hearing the voices of all you guys singing, and it's a real blessing. Okay, just a little bit of business. My name is Bill Morgan. I've debated 19 PhDs on college campuses, and I'm not bragging. I've done a fair amount of witnessing, but when I debate these PhDs, I use my fifth grade material. You don't have to impress people with details. And the good news for you is I'm not that smart. I won't be speaking over your head. I've heard creationists that were brilliant, and I'm like, what are they talking about? But everything is simple, and I hope you are blessed by it. My goal is two things. Number one, strengthen your faith. Some of you might need a little faith strengthening. God, are you really, really real? And improve your witness so you can talk to other people about it. Now, I'm going to say some words. 90% you forget within a little bit. So we have the handout. You won't need it for the lesson, but you can keep it. If you feel led, I want to put the pressure on the church. We have a harvest at my church in Garden Grove, California. We hand these to people who come to the harvest. Give them something spiritual. Don't just give them candy and games. But this is irresistible to kids. That's the whole goal. I got a dog with a bad toupee, right? Kids love that. But give these to as many people as you want. In the back, I have what I think is the best creation book I've ever read. It's in the lobby. There's honor system if I'm not there. It's only $6. I buy them by the hundred so I can sell them at cost. The title should be 365 Reasons to Believe in God. It's a devotional. Every day is a little detail about creation. I just opened to a frog, a little tidbit. Perfect book to read to a child before bed if they're five or if they're a cool 19-year-old. It blesses. It's simple to understand. It's usually creation facts that you don't know about. So that's only $6. I'm not making money off it. I don't want to. I lose 90 cents per book, but that's fine. I just want people equipped. And last, we have a creation group in Garden Grove. I write a newsletter only once a month. It's always really short. We announce the meetings, and I always have a creation versus evolution tidbit. And if you want to sign up for it by email, I will never send more than one email a month, so I won't spam you. And I don't know how to do viruses, so I won't do that either. But my son does. And this month, I'm going to tell a blessing. We go to high schools. We hand these to kids walking to school, my family and friends. We stand off school property. We say, good morning, good morning. An angry atheist kid called me up. We talked for an hour, and I got goosebumps. At the end of the lesson, he said, or the call, I'm an agnostic now. I go, all right. And we're going to meet for dinner, and I'm going to hopefully get him to the cross. But does anybody know that agnostic is a Greek word? Do you know what the Latin word for agnostic is? Ignoramus. So if I'm on a college campus and someone says they're agnostic, I go, an ignoramus? No, 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 I'm not that. I'm an agnostic. Okay, so we begin. Creation versus evolution, that's why I'm here. And tonight I'm going to talk about the age of the earth. And everything there, too, is on the fifth grade level. I shared yesterday with someone on the age of the earth that this earth cannot sustain 4.5 billion years of punishment of the wind and the rain and the sun and the temperature change. Our planet is like a boxer that's barely hanging in there. Hasn't been around 4.5 billion years. Okay, what's this? No, it's a picture of a hummingbird. One of my goals is for the rest of your life, if you see something awesome in nature, you amazingly, instantly say, praise the Lord. God, you are great. We are blessed at our house. We have a lot of hummingbird nests. Once I noticed there were all these speckles on it, I Googled hummingbird nest. Hummingbirds decorate their nests to attract a mate. Did you guys know that? They're just like people. You know, you try to get a nice car, a nice house. But they do that. We had a security screen door where the paint chips were coming out. They were all over the nest. I learned that hummingbirds decorate their nests, and I said, praise the Lord. And Borrego Springs, I'm so happy to be here. It's so beautiful, so amazing, so many cool animals. You just see a hawk soaring. Praise the
Lord.
Right, keep him, give him the glory that he is due. My life story is I was born, took the 91 freeway, and came here the other day. A few things have happened. I was raised going to church every Sunday, went to Sunday school, learned Christian teachings, learned the Bible. And when I was 14 years old, I was taught this. How many people have seen these before? I'm in the third row of the class on this side. My teacher teaches me humans have ape-like ancestors. Now, how many people have flown in an airplane? Did you put your complete trust and life in the pilot? Yes, you did. You didn't know who the pilot is. You trusted the pilot. My biology teacher, who I trusted, is telling a 14-year-old kid, you have ape-like ancestors. Guess what I believed at the age of 14? I believed it. And that same day, I became an atheist. How many people can relate to this life story? I said, he's an expert. He's the scientist. He's saying that. It must be true. But there were two little things motivating me. And there are two secrets I know about everybody here. One of them really embarrassing. Secret number one, not too embarrassing. Every person in here wants to be considered smart instead of an idiot. How many amens to that? I was brainwashed to think intelligent people who love science believe this. And creationists? That's superstitious religious nonsense. You guys familiar with that, right? So in ninth grade, I'm saying, I'm not going to question the teacher at all on this. But here's a real embarrassing fact I know about everybody in here, and I'll break off eye contact so you won't say, he was talking to me. I'm talking to all of you. Every person in here, the holiest person in here, the person who has memorized the most Bible verses, you are still tempted by sin, and you are not bragging about it. How many people are willing to say, I am tempted by sin? I love to say this to young people. You will be tempted by sin constantly. Any amens?
Amen.
I'll break off eye contact. Some of you are deep into sin, and only you and God know about it. If you are, there is an escape. Read your Bible more. Pray more. Keep fellowshipping. How many have been on that roller coaster? You're into sin, you get back in the Word, you're better off with God, right? So you can make rebounds off this. So anyways, all of you are tempted by sin, and you don't brag about it. How you doing, George? Well, I'm tempted by this. I'm tempted by this. No, you don't do that. I'm doing great. Well, we all struggle. We're in the flesh. What has it got to do with this? I'm a 14-year-old. I'm thinking, I don't like some of these rules. I want to do this. My Bible tells me to do that. Anybody relate? Remember being 14? It was a big struggle. So I'm on the fence. Should I be doing what the Bible tells me or what my flesh wants to do? My teacher tells me we came from ape men. Guess what? I'm going, hallelujah, brother. Amen. Page one of the Bible is wrong. I know what page one of the Bible teaches. God made Adam and Eve instantly. So science proves page one wrong. What else is wrong in my little mind in ninth grade? All those rules about sin, and I'm like, I'm free. Any relations to that when you're 14? Absolutely. Your flesh does not want to obey God. You have to feed your spirit to follow God. So for 12 years, I claimed to be an atheist. If you would have witnessed to me, and I'm skinny, but I did work construction. One crew, born again, the whole summer. I worked summers. And they would tell me about heaven and hell and judgment and the Bible. And I'd say, Joe, I know what the Bible says. And I respect you very much for believing it. I don't believe it. I'm an engineering major. I'm basically saying, I'm smart. You're dumb. Okay? I'm saying, I don't believe any of that. We were friends. I wouldn't listen to the gospel. 26 years old, somebody handed me something like this. Drawings are good. Fossils are horrible. I said, wait a minute, I thought they had thousands of fossils of each one. I took 2 days off work and called universities. What are the actual fossils? Found out I had been lied to. I was angry. I was ripped off. Very, very important. Someone raise your hand, I'll call on you. What are these? Someone? Yes?
Monkeys.
Nope, there's not monkeys or apes. Good answer. Very, very good. Big round of applause. Everybody, what are these? Cartoon drawings. Is this evidence you're related to an ape? No, real evidence would you be seeing half man, half ape out there. Maybe there'd be millions of fossils. No fossils, nothing out there. Just cartoon drawings, shaming, and peer pressure, okay? And our natural lust that does not want to obey God. So, again, not bragging, I've had 19 debates. If I got eaten alive in those debates, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd feel horrible. And I also like to say, I said it yesterday to someone I was witnessing to with my son, if atheism is true, I want all of you, what? To be atheists. If Jesus Christ is true, we should all want the whole world to be Christian, right? So, it leads to this. At the age of 26, I heard an argument from Science for Creation. Despite all my going to church, I never heard any. But at 26, I heard Science Facts for Creation. I really wanted to know what? Fill in the blank. It's about truth, people. When you share your faith, you might say, well, I don't believe in the theory of evolution. I think humans only have human ancestors. They'll say, come on, that's religious. No, I am not a religious person. I hope you are not a religious person. I hope you are a tea seeker, a what? Truth seeker. I love to tell atheists, it's not about God. It's about the T word, which is what? And if your goal is truth, you will find God. Amen? And it's absolutely true. Seek truth and you'll find God. Skeptics love to hear that, okay? It's not about religion, it's about truth, okay? So, I have a name of my lesson, it's a number, 2. I used to teach about 7 things. And people say, nice lesson, I think. And I'm not picking on her, but my wife heard my lesson about 50 times. She said, Bill, I went to the sinus doctor today and he said our sinuses evolved. I said, what did you say? He said, I don't believe in the theory of evolution. Again, very smart lady, master's degree. She said, I don't believe in the theory of evolution. And he said, why not? And I said, what did you say? And she said, well, a lot of scientists don't believe it. A lot of facts contradict it. Dramatic pause. What'd you say after that? She goes, nothing. I go, I've taught this lesson to her many, many times. And it's my fault. It wasn't getting through. It was like 2 out of the 7 things. And every time I witness, these 2 things always come up. We'll stand across the street at a school while the kids are waiting for the light to change. These 2 things I like to come up. So instead of teaching you 7 things, I'm going to teach 2 and really try to get it in your head for the rest of your life. It covers 98% of witnessing, okay? Dinosaurs are great. They don't really come up on the street corner. I want to equip you for the fast, effective witness. So what's the name of my lesson?
2.
Okay. 2 questions I hope everyone has a quick answer when they leave here today, and it's in their head for the rest of their life. Number 1, why do you believe in God? Question 2, what about evolution? Again, this covers 98% of first-time evangelism. Is that you, O Lord? Okay. So, we need a brave volunteer. Anybody want to raise their hand and I'll call on you. Need a brave volunteer. Okay, well, I got a list of your names. Would you?
Sure.
Okay. The goal is not to embarrass.
Stay here.
You can stay there. The goal is not to embarrass or shame. The goal is to equip. You're not on TV or YouTube. Imagine someone came up to you and asked you, why do you believe in God? What would you say?
Oh, this is why they didn't volunteer.
Never volunteer. But I want all of you to think, You're at the Borrego Springs Nature Park, and somebody says, you believe in God? Yeah. Why do you believe in God? And that's a fair question for them to ask, right? So what would you say?
I believe in God because at one point in my life, I asked him to come into my life, and he did. I had a very eye-opening spiritual experience.
Good. Very good. Excellent. Anyone else want to volunteer? Good. That is a great answer. We'll press on. The question was, why do you believe in God? I'm going to share a one-word answer that I think will help, and I'm going to do it by a clue, and I'm going to talk about this door. Imagine I got out my DeWalt power screwdriver, and I took the screws off the hinge. I laid the door down here, and I put the screws on top of the door. Does anybody think that nature, in 1 year, could pick up the door and get the screws in? What about 5 years of nature? What about 1,000 years in nature? What about 4.6 billion years in nature? What would happen to the door? Time is the enemy of natural processes. It's going to decay. Nobody in their right mind would think that nature could pick up a door and get the screws in. The screws got in the door, and the door got hung by design. Now, if you're an atheist, you got to make the door, you got to make the screws, you got to make the hinges, right? I'm giving you those. You guys know time is not going to assemble something complex. It got there by design, okay? So, someone comes up to you tomorrow and asks you, why do you believe in God? My one-word answer begins with letter D. Okay? Once again? Okay, a kid's waiting for the light to turn green to get away from me. I'm just kidding. And why do you believe in God? I'd say, well, suppose I tried to tell you that this would stand. Happened by chance over time, that there was a forest and a tornado came through and picked up the wood and the wood rolled around and there was some glue. Why are you laughing? This is millions of years. Just cut this nice bevel here. You'd think I was crazy if I tried to explain to you this happened by chance over time. Suppose this microphone stand, there was a mining company, an earthquake, a tornado, pushed around, became round tubes, paint factory, came by. You'd think I was crazy. Somebody smart designed this. Are your eyes more complex than a microphone stand? Someone designed that. Someone designed your eyes. If something's a design, there has to be a what? Don't lose sight. This is a design. So are your eyes. So is your nose. So are your ears. So are your teeth. But that then, the goal is not to make them design people. Lead them to the Lord. Then you can share testimony, okay? But a lot of people just want to keep God at a distance. Break that bubble with the design word. Okay. I would like everybody to stick out your hand, your arm, and do this. Okay? You have 8 bones in your wrist called carpal bones. You've heard of carpal tunnel, right? Did you know you have 8 bones in your wrist called carpal bones? They're like 8 marbles of different shapes to perform this complex movement. I would like everybody to give God a round of applause for the human wrist. Now, I'd like everybody to move your elbow. Your elbow is a hinge joint. Your elbow can only move in one direction. If you bent it in a different direction, you know what we're talking about. It's called jiu-jitsu, right? Now go like this. Your shoulder is a ball joint. It allows your shoulder to move in every direction. Do you think these are designs? Yes. Well, it's in science or whatever, you should never say always, but every robotic arm that I found on the internet mimics what? The human arm. Not only does it mimic the human arm, look what they call it. The wrist, the elbow, the shoulder, the waist, all of them. This stuff gives me great joy. The greatest minds who make robotic arms are trying to make a human arm. The God that made you, the God that you love, gave you the right arm by speaking it into existence. Amen? Amen. How about a round of applause for arms? All right. So, would you read that verse, please? Would you mind volunteering to read this verse?
Amen.
Amen. I just was talking to Brother Gary in the back. Would you sell your hands for $10 million? Have you ever realized these are gifts? You didn't earn them. I want everybody to now just say, thank you, God, for my hands.
Thank you, God, for my hands.
Amen. You could be going through all kinds of trouble in life. We'll talk about that in a second. But you can still be thankful because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, now I have a list of names here. Names that Brother Ryan said could handle it. Gary, pick a number 2 through 17, please. Number 7, that is Pat Oakes. Pat, suppose someone asks you tomorrow, why do you believe in God? What's a good one-word answer that we just talked about?
Because it's all from the Bible.
Okay. Okay. Do you remember the D word that might be a good start too?
Design.
Good, good. Someone designed this water bottle. Someone designed your heart. Someone designed that candle, your brain, your central nervous system, etc. And then after that's established, bring in the Lord. Amen? Good. Thank you. Gary, another number?
How about 17?
17 is George Wolitz. It's not fixed. George, why do you believe in God? What's a good one word answer?
Design.
Suppose I'm a skeptic. What do you mean by that, George?
All the things that I see around me.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And I always like to be specific when I'm talking to someone. One paperclip, you know that's a design.
This tree right near us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How it drops its leaves, how it desires to grow and live.
Amen. Do you know what every leaf is? A solar panel. Dramatic pause. Man is like, oh, we're making solar panels. Yeah, good. God's been making them for 6,000 years, and they're better than we'll ever make. Newton said man has never invented anything. We've only discovered things that God has already invented. Okay. Design. To me, it's an unlosable first round of a discussion, isn't it?
Yep.
You really would be silly to think this piece of wood happened by chance, and your eye sure didn't either. Suppose you're walking home, you walk up your driveway, you see 15 stones in that pattern. But do you think the pattern's a design, like somebody placed each one there? Or it's by chance, like somebody chucked it? What do you think?
Chance
is a great guess, but you couldn't be 100% sure because you weren't. Suppose you see this on your driveway. 6 stones in a straight line. Do you think now design or chance?
Design.
Now you might say, I think that's a design. But you could only be 99% sure, never 100 because you weren't.
There.
So you're 99% sure, 1% faith. Is it blind faith? No, it's a logical faith, but you still got a little faith. Suppose you see that on your driveway. I counted 150 stones in a pretty good circle. Design or chance?
Design.
Could you be 100% sure?
No.
No. 99.999999%, 0.001% faith. Is it blind faith?
No.
What is more complex, your eyes or 150 stones in a circle? Do you know your eyes are a design?
Yes.
No, because you weren't.
99.9999999999999,
right? You got such little faith, Christian brothers and sisters. You got so little. The skeptic, it's the inverse. They have 99.999% faith. We have logic, common sense in our court. Amen?
Amen.
It's not blind faith like, you know, praise the Lord and you know. No. We have the truth. We have the science. We don't have to be ashamed. They want to shame you into skepticism, but you have logic and intellect on your side. Now, there was a huge flood, and this flood washed out this canyon in South Dakota. And over, wait a minute. Suppose we had 100 smart people from China who knew nothing about it, and I tried to convince them a flood made that. Would they believe me?
No.
Say, no, somebody smart designed it. So I lose my job as a tour guide. I get a job at UC Irvine. I teach those same 100 smart Chinese people that your face is by chance, your eyes, your nose, your teeth, your skull. What would happen to my career as a professor? I'm dean of the science department after a while. And we laugh, but isn't it tragic comedy? This is a design. So are you. What the school should teach? Don't teach Jesus saves in the science class. Teach, this is how an eye works. Chapter 2, some people think chance, some people think design. If the teacher said, you choose who the designer is outside the class, I'm fine with that. But the haters don't even want design to get a little bit of a foothold because they're mad at God typically, the real hardcore ones, and they're fighting God by denying him and taking glory from him. Their arms are too short to hit him. They're trying to steal his glory and take people with them. Anybody agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, volunteer. Gary?
Nine.
Number nine is Gene Simpson. Gene Simpson, why do you believe in God?
Design.
What do you mean by that?
Everything has design. There's nothing chance. I mean, that pulpit has been designed by someone.
Excellent. Very good. Big round of applause for Gene. Yeah. How many miles of blood vessels? 60,000. My one tidbit to people, shared it a few times yesterday, you have 60,000 miles of blood vessels in your body. Your lungs, 15,000 miles. Your little lungs have 15,000 miles of piping carrying blood. Your blood vessels could circle the earth 2.5 times. Shaquille O'Neal's 3 times. What are these? How many do you make every second? 3 million. At 2:41 a.m. and 12 seconds, when you were asleep going, your body did what? 3 million. 3 million. 3 million. Everybody count to one. When you, about the time it took you to say one, your body made 3 million red blood cells. How many have people made in the laboratory? Zero. If your body made 2 million per second, I'm not making light of this, you would slowly turn blue, the color of this carpet, and die. How about a round of applause for God and your red blood cells? Amen. Okay, another volunteer. Gary?
Five.
Number five is Joe Wind. Joe, why do you believe in God, wherever you are? Gone with the wind. Okay, another one. Number four is Carlos Ortega.
Yes.
Why do you believe in God?
Because of design.
What do you mean by design?
So I drive a car that was designed. Maybe, yeah.
Good. And you know, if you want to get detailed, what if your car had everything but spark plugs? It's an ashtray and a headlight, right? Everything's got to work. And that's how the body is too. Very good, Carlos. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to come to some more design examples. You get to pick the design. I did this. There's so many great designs. If you read this book, you find more and more. So I want you, the audience, to pick the design. I'm going to give you a list of designs, and whoever Gary picks can pick the design. Gary, pick a number, please. Number 12 is Gary Jacobs. Hey, that's you. Gary, you can pick anyone you want. Everything is G-rated. Huh? The skull, whoever's working that, could you go to slide number 89, please? Now, do you have holes in your head?
Yes.
You have your eye socket, your nose, your mouth. But how many people have never considered things called foramen? You never heard of foramen. There's no shame in that at all. These are evolutionary mistakes. You do not need them. Right? No, God made them. You need them. Think of the outside gums right here. Do they need blood? Do they need nerves? But wait, all your blood and nerves come up in the middle of the skull. How does God solve that problem? He gives you tiny little holes in your skull called foramen, and through them pass blood vessels and nerves. Notice I will not shine it in the eye. Never will do that. I went to the butcher shop. Guess what they had on the wall? A big skull of a steer. Guess what the steer has?
Foramen.
I said, do you know your skull here has foramen? What's that? And I showed it to him. I go, look at those little holes. Oh, I've never even noticed those holes. Do you know why they're there? They didn't know. It's okay. Little blood vessels, little nerves. I said, do you believe in God? The guy says, absolutely. I go, well, there's a great reason to, isn't it? Everything in the, I got goosebumps. I love creation. You guys should get into creation too. It makes God real. Okay, so, Gary, why do you believe in God?
Design.
Very, give me an example. Amen. And that needs to be, since that's a design, it needs a?
Creator.
Amen. A designer. All right. Now, what's cool, your foramen might not be exactly where her foramen is, but everybody's foramen, the needle is threaded. Isn't that great? See, these are slightly different positions, but God threads the needle. I believe God is behind every red blood cell you make. That is how big God is. Right? He is not distant. He is present. Okay. Could you go back to 37, please? And Gary, pick another volunteer. Number 10 is Jewel Nickerson. Would you like to pick a design?
Amazing dogs.
Amazing dogs. I tell people, how many people have a dog? Oops. Study your dog. Every strand of fur on your dog is a what? It's a design. Different color, different thickness, different texture, different direction. I tell you, it's everywhere. Okay, number 91, please. This is where everybody goes, oh. I took college astronomy. My professor said, everyone's properly arranged stardust. Carl Sagan, properly arranged stardust. That's where matter came from. It arranged itself. It made this cute puppy. No. God made that puppy. How many people know the secret of dogs drinking water? They don't just lap it. God designed a tongue that can curve, a nervous system that can curve. They make little cups out of their tongue. How many did not know that? I didn't either until I did a Bible study, just amazing facts on dogs, instant Bible study, okay? True or false, a dog can see better than you in the dark?
Oh, yeah.
Suppose you go to visit grandma, she says, go downstairs and get us some jam. You see a dark basement and two green lights looking at you. Did you go down those stairs? No. Dogs have mirrors, that's the technical term, not, behind their retina. Humans do not. Our light goes through the retina once. Their light goes through the retina, bounces back. They can see twice as good with the same amount of light. You guys have seen raccoons, right?
Yeah.
They seem to have the most intense. Deers, animals that God designed to be predators at night, he loves them. He gave them mirrors behind the eyes. Pardon my French, but think of the idiocy to think this is properly arranged stardust. Amen? No chance in the world. Okay. There they are. Do not go down those stairs. Okay, animals have scent receptors. One breed of dog has the most. Which one? The bloodhound. Very good. Now, anyone with young kids, you've got to do this. The second they say something hilarious, everything stops and you write it down. You put it on a computer file and you make it your Christmas card. These are the 25 best things my kids said all year. Everybody is doing fine. They don't care how you're doing. But you know what I mean? Oh yeah, I invented something. But I send quotes of my kids. Once my daughter saw this when she was about 6. And she goes, Daddy, I know why it's so sad. I go, why? He can smell everything. You don't want to smell everything, do you? Real briefly, when a dog breathes, I love 95% of National Geographic. When they have that evolution nonsense, it's like, what a waste. But most of it is great. You don't have to run from it. You can just edit the bad part. This is from National Geographic. Part of what a dog inhales goes to its brain. Part, when it sniffs, part goes to its lungs, part goes to its brain. They have something fancy called the olfactory recess. Don't worry about that. A dog can remember everything it has ever smelled. When it's trying to sniff that fire hydrant, it remembers the entire smell history of that fire hydrant. How about a round of applause for dogs and their ability to remember everything they smell? There's another picture of it. One third of their brain is devoted to the sense of smell. I love dogs, and they store the scent. Okay, oh. Now we got to get off the design because of time. I can stay late if people want to see pee-pee. I know you do. just kidding. But could you go back to 37? I got to do it real quick. How about, you want me to?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, real quick. If I run late, if anybody has to leave, I'm okay. I won't be offended. But we got to cover this one. 58, please. I'll be real quick. Okay. What are those? Your kidneys, okay? Right now, your brain, your hypothalamus, is seeing how much water is in your blood. Now, how many people have worked out in a hot desert all day long, you're drinking water, and you never went to the bathroom? I wonder why. I used to think. Well, I'm going to teach you why. Your hypothalamus is measuring how much water is in your blood. It sends an electrical signal to your pituitary gland. It says, hey, we're low on water. Suppose you're working on a 100-degree day. So the pituitary gland receives the signal, low on water, releases a chemical into the blood, and it goes to your kidney. It goes to your kidney and says, we're low on water. The kidney says, thanks for the information. We're going to recirculate the water. Suppose you're in a computer room where it's cold, you're drinking water all day. The hypothalamus says, we're high on water, different signal, to the pituitary gland, different chemical, goes to the kidney, get rid of the water, get rid of the water, we have too much water, over, and you go to the bathroom a lot. You would die if this system didn't work. You are a house of cards, so many things has to work. But anyways, round of applause for pee-pee. Okay, because of time, I'm gonna go real fast on the second part. I had slides for it. If someone comes up to you and says, what about evolution? There's no shame. I'm not going to call on you. Who would not have a quick first answer? No shame at all. Took me years to come up with this. Well, what about evolution, Bill? I say this real slow. And I'm going to quiz somebody, so pay attention. I believe apes can only make apes. And people can only make
people.
Birds can only make pine trees can only make?
Pine
trees. Whales can only make?
Whales.
My belief is not religious. It's genetics. Everybody say genetics.
Genetics.
It's biochemistry. It's DNA. You only have human ancestors. You have human DNA. When you get married and have kids, you can only make. So once again, someone says, what about evolution? I believe apes can only make apes, and let them answer. Humans can only make?
Humans.
Okay, a number please, Gary?
Eight.
Number eight, Bob McFalls. Someone comes up to you and says, what about evolution? What are you saying?
It's shown as proof by the fact that humans only make.
Well, you can start. And how I start, I believe apes.
I believe that apes only make apes. Humans can only make humans. Pine trees only make pine trees.
Good. Suppose I say, oh, Bob, that's religious. What do you say?
Oh, it's science. It's genetics.
Genetics. Good. One more, Gary. Very good, Bob.
12.
Number 12, Megan Lynn. Congratulations. What about evolution, Megan? Okay, but evolution is that you have bacterial ancestors. So you can start with, I believe apes.
I feel that there's no fossil record evidence to support that theory.
Good. Okay, good. All right. Excellent. But the real simple one, you say, I believe apes can only... And people can only... Oh, that's religious, Megan. Good, good. And you can build off that quite easily. Okay. Here comes the big conclusion. Thank you very much. Apes make apes, people make people. Anything that flies by, that bird came from a bird. It's going on to make a bird. We have genetics on our side. The haters want to make it seem like you're a religious nut who doesn't think. They have blind faith that bacteria is the ancestor to a whale. Nonsense. Okay, 199, please. This is a big conclusion. I got 1 minute to make it to 10:30. Everybody, nice and loud. Why do you believe in God? Good. What about evolution? That's religious. You are equipped. You can take on lovingly anyone. If you ever get stumped, say, I don't have an answer. Can I write down? What did you say? What kind of fossil are you talking about? It's okay to be stumped and do your research, but this will cover 98%, and then you bring in the gospel. And the gospel is in your handout, too. Okay, big conclusion. That's a picture of my daughter. Guess how old she was? Very good, too. That's her when she was 3. She got leukemia. She got cancer of the blood. Your guest speaker with the tie and the PowerPoint was bitter, angry, and mad at God. How many people here would admit you've been mad at God? Okay, I was furious at God. Why does my kid have to get the cancer? But I could never, ever deny his existence despite my heartache because of what? The D word.
Desire.
We need an anchor during the hard times. A lot of people have a tough life. Someone says, hey, Jesus loves you and you'll be a lot better off as a Christian. Really? Okay, I'll try it. Bam, your kid gets leukemia. Christianity didn't work for me. You've heard that, right? That's because they're looking for an emotional basis for belief in God. Have a design basis. I was mad at God, but I said, God, I'm mad at you, but I know you made my hands, my veins, you made her. Please help me get through these hard times. How many people have been mad at God and kept reading their Bible? How many would say, wow, what a cool time to read your Bible? Here's a verse that meant nothing during the good times, but when she had cancer, it almost knocked me out of my chair. I was at the hospital. She was going through chemo. I'm reading my Bible. And I felt Jesus was looking down and saying, aren't you a disappointment? How can you be mad at me after all I've done for you? Anybody ever felt that guilt? I did. I felt guilty that I was mad at God. So I'm reading the Bible, and it said, Father, Father, why have you? And I go, wow. Wow. Jesus said those words. Did he feel forsaken? Yes. Yes. Jesus was human, people. Everything you go through, he understands. Jesus is not saying, how can you be such a disappointment by being mad at me? He's talking to the Father as your advocate, saying, I understand why this person feels forsaken because I felt forsaken on the cross. You get that? That meant so much to me. But I had peace, but I was still mad about her cancer. On November 3rd, 2001, a fungus shows up on her lungs. Terrible if you have no immune system. I thought she was going to die. They were sticking tubes in her lungs all day long. That night in a dark hospital room, I'm looking at my little girl like she's a corpse, and I'm hallucinating in my rage at God. How in the world can she get a fungus after going through all this chemo? But that same very night, a huge thing happened that is important that I need to share. How many people believe Jesus is Lord?
Amen.
Now raise your hand real high if you can give me a one-word definition of what Lord means. Don't do this. What does Lord mean? And I might call on you. Most Christians don't know. I saw your hand first. No, but good answer. Lord does not mean Savior. Yes. Lord means master, ruler, or king. What does Lord mean? I said, Jesus, your Lord, if she dies, may your will be done.
Amen.
If she lives, may your will be done. I got goosebumps right now. Has anybody ever done that with a big, big, big problem? Is it easy?
No.
But is it easy to do to say, may your, is it easy to do?
No.
No. It's called...
It's based on a word. That's the only reason you can do it. If you know the word, it's what's in your heart. And you're willing to say, have your vote. Hear what you want.
Amen. Amen, sir. Thank you for sharing. Give him a hug. Seriously. And if you need to talk to a brother or sister afterwards, please do so, okay? If something's on your mind. This is what's great about churches like this. Amen. Build each other up. Help each other. Amen. Yeah, I hope someone talks to you afterwards.
Well, I'm okay.
Hey, I got you a hug.
I should be dead. I should not be here. And he did it. And I knew it. He gave me the comfort that was there. And it's because he revealed himself to me for 30 years before I needed him, you know. And that's where it comes from. He realizes the Lord is the Lord.
Amen.
You know, there's no left.
And wouldn't it please the Lord for you to share what you've been through?
And he does.
Good. People need to hear exactly that, sir. Okay, I love it. Thanks for sharing. And listen to this man. He's got wisdom for you. Okay? So November 3rd, 2001, I said, Jesus, your Lord. Was I still mad at God? No. No, I'm sorry. I wasn't mad at God anymore. If I said that earlier, I was stressed out still. But I was no longer mad. I'm sorry. I did misstate myself. I was no longer mad at God. May your will be done. But I was still stressed out that she would die. What you did, it's called humility. You're in charge. May your will be done. Is it easy to be humble? But it's easy to be humble when you know him as your designer, who made your fingers, your wrist, your elbow, your shoulder. Makes it much. Creation is so important for that. Earlier, he read a verse. I will give thanks to you, for I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Okay, so fast forward. My dad gets bone cancer. I was stressed out, really worried. How many people wake up stressed out? Okay, I'm sorry I'm going 5 minutes over. This is huge. Please listen to these words, and it's in your handout. I would wake up and start stressing out about my dad's bone cancer. This is what I did. I hope you guys do it. I said, my feet are not leaving the bed until I pray biblically. I'm not picking on anyone. Here's an amateur prayer. Make him better, make him better, make him better. Could you pray for my dad to get better? Could we do a prayer chain for the whole world to pray for my dad to get better? Bless your hearts. That's the amateur prayer. Here, I think, is the godly prayer. You're in bed. You think about your dad with bone cancer. I'm going to worry about that later. Number one of your prayer, list 10 things to be thankful for. 10 different things every day. Well, my dad's got bone cancer. We'll worry about that later. God, thank you for my hands. Thank you for my eyes. Thank you for the clouds. Thank you for birds. Every morning, people, before your feet leave the bed, be thankful for 10 things. If you're not thankful, 10 more things. You have something to be thankful for. Chapter 2, fill in the blank. Lord, if my dad dies of bone cancer, may your will be done. If he suffers for 10 years with this horrible bone cancer, may your will be done. If he's healed, may your will be done. Chapter 3, the most important thing in life, besides, you know, the next life, but in this life, can drugs make you happy? Yes, they can, for 3 hours. Can drinking make you happy? Yes, it can, for about 3 hours, more if you keep drinking. Can sinning make you happy? Any sin out there can make you happy for a short time, and every sin can ruin your life. Amen? Amen. How many people have seen ruined lives from drinking? What about from drugs? What about from fooling around outside of marriage? Absolutely. God is telling you, don't play on the freeway. But it's fun, God. I know it's fun. You can get killed and ruined. Okay? The drinker, the drug addict, the sin person is looking for something that begins with the letter P. Peace. They are trying to find peace through happiness. No, you get happiness when you have, when you pray. Number one, you're thankful for your hands. Number two, may your will be done. Number three, God, if my dad dies, may that be your, and please, 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 please give me peace. I cry out for your peace, Lord. Everyone in the world is looking for peace, but they're looking in a bottle or a needle. Please, Lord, give me peace. How many people have experienced that amazing peace in trial? It's out there through Jesus. And then chapter 4, make him better, if it's your will. And please give me peace. I pray for you to have peace If you know him as your creator, you can be humble, thankful, and have the peace that everybody looks for. I'm very happy to say she survived. That's her. She's 19. Okay, I'll tell you one story. She's 19, and she turned into real big, strong, 6'1" girl. She played basketball, and I was telling someone, I'm not bragging, but Rachel got 25 rebounds the other day. The guy goes, how do you get so many rebounds? And she goes, our team misses a lot of shots. Every team's missing a shot. But if she died, should I still be here saying, God is great, God is, we need tough Christians in this country, amen? We get tons of wimps who ask Jesus into their heart, and when it rains on their birthday, not for me. We need solid Christians, okay? One of the best verses ever about peace and trials. Everybody read this loud, please. Your trial might be because God is preparing you for something. I have no idea why you're going through your trials, but you can have peace in your trials. Amen? Amen.